speaker for this evening is Dr. Louis Bussell. He is the Director for World Mission for the Church of the Nazarene. Obviously, his responsibilities take him all over the world, but one of the things that you will hear from him this evening is that he has a passion concerning those folks who don't know Jesus yet. Now, they might live in Argentina, they might live in Armenia, they might even live in Alabama, which sometimes is a foreign country. I know. But you'll hear from him a passion for souls.
Our Heavenly Father, our heart's cry tonight is revival. The world, and even sometimes the church, tells us that there is no revival. But you give us in your word that the church has always lived in revival. And I don't know the hearts of your people here tonight, but it's my guess that the plea of most people in this building tonight would be, oh God, give us revival at any cost. Move us tonight. And help us to understand that you are God, and that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Revival. Have you ever been in a revival? Oh, I'm not talking about revival services where you call a preacher and you get a have a few services and you got the preaching and you maybe have a few people at the altar. I'm talking about revival. The church was born in revival. The church has always lived in revival. As a matter of fact, the church cannot exist without real revival. I'm not talking about scheduled services. We need those times. Book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came in a mighty way and fell upon a people who were waiting, expecting, and ready to give everything. Why? Because Jesus in Luke 24:49 sent them into the upper room and he said, I want you to wait and tarry until the promise of the Father has come upon you. In Acts chapter 2, all of you know the story that they came out of that upper room and after the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them and they hit the streets and revival broke loose in that area. The scripture says 3,000 people came to know the Lord. How long has it been since you've seen 3,000 people come to know the Lord in just one day? The scripture also says in Acts chapter 2 that they were going from house to house. They were in fellowship. They were breaking bread. They were definitely in the doctrine of the apostles. You see, doctrine is important. Hello? Don't you? Nobody thinks doctrine's important, no? Doctrine's important. It's your roadmap. How to walk, how to live, how to serve the Lord. It's the roadmap to get to heaven. So it is important for us, and I pray that you will learn doctrine and learn it well, and you will hold to the doctrines of the apostles. And right at the heart of the doctrine of the apostles is that God is a holy God, and he wants a holy people. And that Jesus died on the cross, that you and I not only could be saved from our sins, but that we could be cleansed of all sin, and that we could live a holy life every day, and we don't have to go back into sin, but that God can give us strength and courage and the ability to live godly lives. And the world is hurting for that message. You go over into Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 and 5, and it was a movement of God, and not only 3,000 but 4,000 and 5,000 and women and children, and it literally was a movement of God, of God moving in upon that place, and it was spontaneous revival of people moving out and touching the lives of people. God was on that place. I've had so many people say, well, I remember as a superintendent in the Dominican Republic, a young guy said to me, he had grown the church from about 45 to 15 in about 6 months. And his famous last words, he said, nobody can grow the church in Barona. Well, I retired him at an early age and made him a good layperson and put in a young guy who was just barely maybe 90, I think he was maybe late of his 18th year. Converted 8 months. And God had called him, God had sanctified him. Little education, except we were training him on the job. And in 3 months, he had already won over 30 people and running 100 in that little church. See, God makes the difference. When he comes, don't ever think that anything is impossible. We've been in Spain for, 22 years. Hardly any movement in Spain, about maybe 4 or 5 churches, maybe a couple missions now, but for years, just really one church. And everybody always tries to, when I go into those countries, they always try to convince me that you know, they're just too hard here. No one is too hard when God comes. For amazing what revival will do for our lives and for our churches. Now, if you go from Sunday to Sunday and basically you think church is just for me and you, forget it. That is not the scriptural way. The church was for outreach, and one of the major reasons for church was to receive the doctrine, to pray together, and develop your strategy to reach out and get into the streets and touch the lives of people. If the church isn't evangelistic, we don't need the church. Why? Because if the church is just for me, then I will die if I'm not reaching out. Hello? Isn't that right? God never saves us to sit. Or do you read that Acts 1:8? But you shall receive a weakness after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be my sitters. How do you read that? You'll receive what? Power. Now that's not power in some autocratic or some way that you're just going to control people. That really is the empowering. It's a dynamite of the Holy Spirit. When he puts his life in you, you love people. And what the gospel is not about power and control of me using power, but it's power so that God could use you and me. And the gospel is different than any other religion. No one else has at the heart of their religion love. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, that He puts a love in us that reaches out and touches the lives of others. A few weeks ago in Spain, about a third of our members were in a conference. I preached on holiness and gave an altar call. God was all over that place. And about 66 people there, and almost 45 of them were at the altar to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And on Sunday, I mean, you could have put Spain down in Latin America with goals like they had never even dreamed about. For you see, when God comes, He makes the difference. A new start, a new beginning. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. God gave us the book of Acts not as the historical fact, but He gave us the book of Acts as our model for the church today. And He wants the church to be in revival, on fire for God, doing something for God, and breaking out of the four walls until God moves upon a place and evangelism takes place. I heard one of our leaders say several years ago, he said, "I don't even believe in the word evangelism." I'm talking about Nazarene. I won't tell you who it is. "I don't even believe in the word evangelism." And of course, has tried to lead to certain areas of the church away from that. But the way I read this book, evangelism is what we're all about. And one of the reasons God gives us revival is to evangelize. And that certainly was the model in the book of Acts. As God empowered their souls and filled them with love, they went out into the streets and literally multitudes of people found Jesus. Then Acts chapter 5, persecution came. You remember that? And they said, "Oh, we're just..." They didn't run back home and say, wait a minute, we're being persecuted. This is not the gospel. But they gave themselves and they put themselves into this. And God moved again. Now, in Acts chapter 6, the Nazarenes come up again. There were murmurings. You ever hear Nazarenes that way? I mean, we are so easy to cut down, so easy to criticize. I mean, can you imagine criticizing the apostles? Think about that. They're our leaders. Oh, well, I'm sure you kids would never criticize the professors. Oh, don't laugh now, because they're here. Oh, it's so easy for us to get caught up into that. And the apostles realized that they were not doing it right. They were not following God's call. And so they said, "It's not right for us to serve tables. Let us give ourselves to prayer and to the word." And God came in a mighty way as they empowered others. And the scripture says that even the priests were coming to the faith, multitudes of people. What does that sound like to you? Sound like revival. God is in the business of giving revival today. He never intended us for it to go Sunday after Sunday and just go through the mundane of a service. I had a superintendent in Peru who said it like this. It sounds better in Spanish. Cualquier impío puede hacer hacedor de culto. Anybody understand that? There you go. You better learn that, because that's the heavenly language. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to speak Spanish. What it really says is, any sinner can direct a service. You don't need God unless you want revival. Don't ever be caught when you're here or when you graduate, just going from service to service. I don't want to go to church just to hear somebody's little cute message. I want that message to reach out, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to have the unction of the Holy Spirit, to reach out and grab me and help me to walk closer to Him, to live closer and love Him more. And you do too. And revival came. I was in a revival in 1970. It happened with a group of young people at Asbury College. And the speaker that morning just paused. Some young people had been praying for revival in a mighty way. And a lot of our revivals come through schools, young people. And that morning, he just opened up the altar, and kids began to flood to the altar. And people would pray through, and they'd go back and get their friends and bring their friends, and they went back to the dorm and got their friends and brought them to the altar, and it was a continuous movement of God for I don't know, almost 200 hours. God was moving on that place. And it swept around the community. People even heard it on radio. And they sent three students to Olivet. And they say they just got up and told what God was doing and how He was saturating their lives and how people were getting saved and sanctified. And at Olivet, they said it was the greatest service they'd ever seen in that chapel. And Olivet sent three students to Nazarene Seminary, where I was studying. They just stood at the pulpit and just shared like 15 minutes and told what God was doing at Olivet and at Asbury. And I tell you, it was like a flood of people moving forward to the altar to ask forgiveness, to seek sanctification, some of them to get saved. Seminary students. And the testimonies were real. The other revival I've been in was in Argentina. In Argentina, one man got a vision from God, bought some equipment, sound equipment, a lay person, believe it. Didn't have seminary training. He went out into a field, and the next year, over 25,000 people found Christ in that field. And God swept a revival all through Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, over into Chile. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. I told them, and our people really didn't know how to even handle it. I told them it'll last about 4 years. That first that year that I became regional director of South America, got to Argentina, they had a net gain of 5 in that old big district in central Argentina. And the next year, I started preaching on holiness. The next year, they had 63 net gain. And it was the next year that revival came. And over 700 new converts, new members brought into the church. And the next year, over 900 new members in that district. You see what God will do? God wants to give us revival. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to help us to totally give ourselves. He wants to help us in our ministry. God wants to so fill our lives until we're never again the same. But revival, He can give you revival. Now the world will say, bring God down to your level where you can understand Him, where you can kind of keep Him in your box, and you can kind of control Him. And we go on with our life just like it's always been. But God wants to lift us to His level and fill our souls with pure, perfect love, that our lives will reach out to our neighbors and to our community and to our city and to our worlds. I'd like for you to stand and just close your eyes. Oh God, tonight, we need revival. Right here in this chapel tonight, some people are hungry for You. God, would You come in a special way and move upon our souls until we're so saturated with the power of God that we'll never be the same. With their head bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, if you're hungry for revival, for God to saturate your soul, I invite you to come to an altar and let Him give you revival tonight. He is here. He wants to move. He wants to help us. He's real. All over this building, if you're hungry tonight for real revival, and you're willing to say, Lord, at any cost, here am I. Come. Come and let Him flood your soul. Come and let Him flood your soul. Oh, God's here. I want you to pray and ask God to move. I want you to just pour out your soul to God. Let Him hear you. He wants to do it. Anybody wants to come around these, come on and let's pray with these. But let's pray for the school. This school could impact this nation. And you could be the catalytic ones. Oh, just pour out your soul to God tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray for a moving of Your Holy Spirit.
Help us, oh God. Move in upon our lives, Heavenly Father. God, I ask that you would give us revival at this school. You not only just move us and stir us, but help us, Lord, to never be the same again. And if there are needs here tonight of people who need to be saved, oh God, I pray that they will just confess their sins and turn their lives over to God. Anyone who needs to be sanctified, Lord, help them tonight to die out to that self-centeredness, to give everything to God, and let you give them revival in their soul. You can do it, oh God. I pray for the empowering of your Holy Spirit upon us. But Lord, tonight upon the lives of the students of the school and the professors and the faculty and the administrators, oh, I just pray tonight that you would move upon our souls and help us, Lord, to catch a little glimpse of the holiness of God. Here we are, Lord. Whatever you want, I turn it all over to you. I turn myself over to you. I turn the school over to you. I turn my job over to you. I turn my future ministry and my ministry today over to you. I turn my family over to you. And right now, Lord, by faith, I receive a mighty touch of God upon my life. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. I know I don't have the ability, but by faith tonight I put my life in your hands, and I know that you can make the difference in me. Here I am, Jesus. Whatever you want, Jesus. Oh, God, I give you everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, give us revival. Amen.